Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the podcast. Elisa, how's it going?
It's going great. It's a very nice, warm day, and summer's coming, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm very excited for summer. It is very beautiful here in San Francisco as well. Usually it's foggy in my neighborhood, but today is a very beautiful, sunny day. I'm really happy about that.
Awesome. Yeah. No weird overcastness or weird sudden rain. Finally, hopefully, just in our sunny era of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely need it. I was like sniffling like crazy a couple weeks back and I thought it was allergies. And I think it was allergies. Like there was a point when I just had a bunch of allergies and then I started feeling like weird. My throat started feeling itchy. I was like just feeling tired and I found out I got a cold
and that's such a bummer.
Yeah, I'm recovering now. You can tell from my voice it doesn't sound the same. I'm getting better and hopefully by this week I will be much better, in better shape overall. But yeah, I'm on the come up. And Elisa, what about you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I went through a string of just work trips that I've been in and out, but finally I'm settled for about a month, which is nice. And aside from that, just I'm excited for summer. That's it. That's all I'm looking forward to. Although I don't actually have a trip planned this summer. I'm more excited to just wing everything and, you know, like maybe fit in a weekend trip here and there. But I actually, one of the few summers where I don't have a plan or an immediate vacation, like I'm going to be gone for vacation for a week. So
right.
Just, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm just here for a good time, even if it's just in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm taking a small day trip this coming Sunday. And no other like crazy plans for me. I guess this is kind of a crazy plan. I'm helping my parents move. So I have to fly.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's like the other big trip planned. But after that, the summer, no crazy big trips. Thankfully, I don't want to go anywhere. Like
for sure.
Yeah. So there's that. I got summoned for jury duty. it's not confirmed yet. I have to check back on Tuesday. Thankfully, I don't have to check tomorrow since I believe the court in San Francisco observes Juneteenth. So we're going to check back on Tuesday. Hopefully I don't have to go in. Fingers crossed. Knock on wood.
Now when you... Oh, okay, so is it one of those things where you can check back online or do you have to go into the lobby?
You could check online, thankfully.
Okay, that's good.
Oh my God, I'm so happy
you could check online. I know some counties you have to go into the lobby.
Yeah, I do. I have heard of that and that just sounds not good. It sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Thankfully I don't have to do that. I'm just going to check online on Tuesday. And let's see what happens. Yesterday, spent maybe a good 8 to 12 hours playing board games, just straight board games. So we played two games yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was Lizard Wizard. It sounds wild, and it is pretty wild. So
Lizard Wizard. I've never heard of that before.
Right, right. So Lizard Wizard is, I didn't hear about it until like recently. We started playing it, and I'm like, this game is fun. And the point of the game is you're supposed to bet on these wizards who look like lizards.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to buy these towers and match the lizard wizards with the towers. And you have to gather resources. And the towers cost resources or gold. Yeah. And the lizards also cost mana, which is like the currency in the game.
Okay.
And that's the base part of it. And you're competing against each other to pair as many lizards with the towers as much as possible. And there are some other added benefactors like there's these familiars. So they're like little animals that help give you benefits so they can like change spells on the game. And you can also buy spells too. And the spells could be like destroy another player's card or cast a protective shield over you or do something like this, do something like that. And they're more like offensive and defensive kinds of things, but there's also some like passive passive things for you to use with those cards. And there's like a whole dungeon mechanic where you can go into a dungeon and get items and like get away from monsters and stuff like that. It's a really fun game. It takes a lot of time, a lot of patience, and the game ends when you go through either the tower deck, the wizard deck, the spell deck, or there was another deck. Tower, wizard, spells, not the dungeon. Anyways, you have to get through one of the decks, one of the big four decks, and then you win, and whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins, and you calculate your points based on how many wizards you pair with the towers, how many, like, themes you have paired up, like, you know, there's like druidry theme, there's like a mechanical theme, there's like all these like different themes that are attached to each wizard, each tower, each familiar card. Oh, familiars is the fourth one, by the way. If you run out of familiars, then the game ends. But yeah, so it's like a really complicated game to explain. Like,
you have to kind of be in the weeds playing it.
I think so, yeah. And like watching a video on it did help too. Like talking to you now about it, I'm like, okay, how much of this makes sense when trying to explain it to somebody? Because every time there were like five of us that started playing it first, and then more people across the night started showing up, and the more people that showed up, they're like, oh, what are you guys playing? And we had to like try to explain it to them while playing the game. And then we got to the point where we started at 4:30 p.m. and by 8 o'clock, we're like, we have to end it now. Like, this game is getting way too long.
Could have gone longer.
Oh, we could have finished it, but like the way that we were playing it, everyone was like not depleting any of the four decks that are required to finish the game. We were all just trying to gather resources, and it's just like, okay, we have to end this now. Like, we have to end it. So we set ourselves a hard cutoff time at 8, and we're like, okay, we're done. And so one of my friends ended up winning, which was awesome. And then we ate some pizza from a nearby pizza joint called Brothers. It's like, it's Indian food. It's a pizza place that also has Indian food.
I've heard of Brothers before.
Yeah. And they also do Indian pizzas. So we had a chicken tiki masala pizza and a tandoori chicken pizza. Oh my God. They were so good. It was amazing.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. It was so delicious. It was like the best of both worlds. Delicious. And then after that, we played this game called Betrayal. Have you ever heard of it?
Never heard of Betrayal before.
So it's a game where it starts off with six players and you're exploring this mansion, and like you start off in like the lobby, the foyer, and you have a set amount of a set amount of spaces that you can move, but every time you unlock a new room, you have to like stop in your place if there's a specific icon in that room. So the whole point of the first part of the game is to explore the whole mansion, unlock rooms, and make sure that you don't cause this ghost that's like just in the house to come out, because you know that something, there's going to be a ghost, or AKA within the game, it's called a haunt, that's going to happen. Okay. And you're exploring this mansion, and the more rooms that you unlock, the closer you get to causing this haunt to happen. And so once the haunt finally does happen, the game turns into Dead by Daylight, where there's one person who becomes the traitor, and they become the killer or become the ghost. And in some scenarios, they don't become anything. Last night, we had a scenario where we were all playing against each other instead of having one person become like the enemy. Because most of the time, it's one person. The sixth person becomes the enemy, and the five others have to like either fight against them or escape or what have you, and have to do certain things to get out. That's it. That's just the basis of the game in a nutshell. And it's a lot of fun. I definitely want to play more of it, and it's great. It's a horror game, but not really, because you're with friends and it's fun and it's exciting, and it goes from like literally Scooby-Doo exploring a mansion, like, oh, let's see what's here, oh no what's going on, to oh my God, we gotta get out of here, we're gonna die. It's great. It's a really fun game. It starts out co-op, but then it ends up being very competitive. A lot of fun. It was awesome. And then we ended at like midnight.
That's a good time though.
Yeah, it was a great time of just playing games. We were drinking too. And it was a chill time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Aside from that, watched Across the Spider-Verse, which I would like to talk about later. We're going to be talking about it later.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about it later.
Yeah.
I have a lot to say.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, anything else you want to add?
No, that's all the updates I really have. Per usual, they're just work updates.
That's fine. That's fine.
I know. But summer starting, so more things to come.
Right. And speaking of summer, Summer Games Fest just happened, hosted by Jeff Keighley. And a lot of things were announced and expanded upon and shown. There were more trailers for upcoming games. There were just a lot of things coming. There's a lot of things coming out, some surprises. And I thought it was I thought it was pretty good, you know, as a supplement to E3. I actually like this more.
This was a fun time. And I almost feel every major studio participated in this, and just like, even if they didn't have a huge showcase, they still dropped trailers, which was a lot of fun. And whether it was a cinematic trailer or an actual gameplay trailer, or they announced that the demo's out, or just teasers, there was a lot of content, and it was really nice. And I felt like it had a lot of fanfare for, you know, just being like an online streaming week. And I felt it was very successful.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I had a couple standouts, and this doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to play these games, but I thought they were really cool that they were announced and given attention.
Me too.
For me, it was Marvel Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
Sonic Superstars.
Are you going to play Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, once I finish Ishin, I want to finish playing Spider-Man.
The first one.
Yeah, the first one. Then I have to play Miles Morales, and then I'll play Spider-Man 2.
For sure.
Yeah. Sonic Superstars, which I'm really excited about.
I'm
going to get that game because it reminds me of New Super Mario Brothers, but with Sonic characters, and I love Sonic, so hell yeah.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah. So definitely going to get that. Alan Wake 2.
Okay. I knew that, like, it was one of those things where they said that Alan Wake 2 was in progress, and it's one of those things where they talk about it all the time, but they never actually have shown anything yet, that I was like, oh, okay, cool, this will come out eventually. That when the gameplay trailer actually dropped, I was so excited.
Yeah.
And it looks cool. I love the concept, how there's some sort of like serial killer potential cult situation going on that you have to investigate.
Right. Yeah. Like a Dragon, Gaiden, the man who erased his name. That's a given.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
You go ahead. I wasn't going to say another game, but please continue.
Oh, I just had a... Okay, so... I thought I knew what Gaiden was going to be. And now, as I saw the trailer, I do have a question. So, is this a spin-off post Kiryu retirement? Like, where are we in this timeline? Because now he's calling himself Joryu, first of all.
Right.
And then and it implies that, like, he's hiding his identity. He's in Sotomori.
I know.
He's,
it's confusing.
He's an agent now. Where are we on this timeline? Well, what are we doing?
And Yakuza 7, Like a Dragon, and Yakuza Infinite Wealth.
Okay.
Or Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. So it takes place between those three games.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, he erases his name because he wanted to disappear and make sure that Haruka has a good life and all that stuff. Because he believes that he's the reason why all this shit is happening. So that's, from what I understand, that's what's going on. And it does look confusing though, because you're just like, is this a anime filler arc? Like, what's going on here? Because it kind of does feel like that.
Jeremy, is this an anime movie?
Oh yeah, right. Literally anime movie for sure. So I regardless, like, the Dragon Engine looks great, and it's gonna look awesome on the PS5.
Yeah, it will. And back to a brawler here, which I'm sure people will be happy about. The combat looks cool. Mm. There's going to be an agent-style combat. I don't know what that means, but it looks promising.
He has a whip. And he has like a whip thing.
I saw that.
I was like, what is this about?
I know. Now, I hate to address the timeline again, and especially because we're talking about anime movie filler arcs.
Yeah.
But if this really takes place between Like a Dragon 7 and Like a Dragon 8 Infinite Wealth, where does he get his gray hair then in this game? Like, where, because Infinite Wealth, Kiryu has gray hair at this point. So I'm just wondering, like, his hair is perfectly black and Gaiden. Like, what?
Right.
So where in this timeline are we again?
I'm assuming he gets his hair that color after or at the end of this game, or he changes his hair color at the beginning of Infinite
Wealth. Hmm. To look older than he actually is.
Yeah, he looks like a West Hollywood hairstylist with that gray hair.
He really does.
I'm like, yeah. What are you doing, man? Like, just keep the black hair. You look fine.
I know.
Yeah. So, the timeline is confusing, and I just read and confirmed that it takes place after Song of Life and between Yakuza Like a Dragon and Infinite Wealth.
Yeah.
Which is, honestly, I don't know if we really needed this, but we'll see. I mean, I'll still buy it and play it, and I'm assuming it's going to be good. So,
I think when Gaiden first was announced, I didn't know this was what it was going to be about.
Yeah.
So I assumed that this might be a different storyline or a new spinoff. And so now that this is a spinoff, but it's sort of related to the Yakuza universe canon, I think this is where I question the timeline, but I'm sure it's going to be fine. Also, it comes out sooner than I thought. It comes out in freaking November, Jeremy. November 8th.
Right. Yeah. Which is pretty, like, it's not far away, but it's also not close either.
Yeah. Which is enough time to finish Ishin for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's coming out, and recently there was a trailer for Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth that came out. Did you watch that recent trailer?
That was a fun trailer. And I know that the producer, Masayoshi Yokoyama, he was talking about how that trailer takes place in the beginning of the game. And it's going to be the first time the game is outside of Japan. So right. I'm curious where it is, like if it's Hawaii or something.
Looking at the beach and Diamond Head behind him when he got up, I can confirm that's Hawaii.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought Ichi was at, but I was just like, I wasn't sure if they were going to make a generic. I mean, obviously, it probably is Hawaii. They're just going to name it something else.
I'm curious as to what they're going to name it, you know? I'm just like,
are they going to change the H?
Like, right, right. Yeah, it's Hawaii now. Like, oh, okay.
I know.
Aloha Land or something. Like, I hope they make it classy and clever and not like messed up, you know? I don't want like a bastardization of the name. I just want like, you know, just keep it cool. You know, it's okay. If you want to name it Hawaii too, that's just fine with me.
The good news about majority of these Yakuza locations is they pretty much keep the same city or neighborhood name. They just change one letter in it.
Right.
It won't be, in my opinion, I don't think it's going to be a major departure.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. And that one comes out in early 2024, but the official launch has not been released yet. But I am excited because I do like Ichiban and the trailer was very comical. And also, two obvious reasons, like, how did we end up here?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see how he ended up there and where he's going next. And I just want to explore Hawaii in the game. Like, that's going to be really cool.
It would be a cool move if it was actually fleshed out a tiny bit. I mean, considering that Hawaii is kind of like a major tourist location for Japanese people too. It's like you're expanding the Ryogakutoku universe.
Right, exactly.
And that's exciting.
I just want to be critical of everything. I just want to look at it from like a local point of view. I'm like, I'm so familiar with it. I'm just like, okay, let's see what's real and what's not. I won't be too harsh, obviously. I will say that there is a Don Quixote on Oahu, so they could totally include that in the game, and it would be
fun.
They
could.
Yeah. So excited for Infinite Wealth, and yeah, hopefully we get to see more details come out soon.
Yes.
I'm speculating it's going to come out February or March 2024, like just like Isshin did this year. We'll see.
Yeah. That would be a good time.
Yeah. So there are...
Well, I will say, if it does come out that time, so if Gaiden comes out in November, December, January, yeah, that's like 3 months up to Infinite Wealth.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
They're two different games anyways.
Exactly. Exactly. So continuing on, Pow World, it looks like Pokemon with guns. That looked it looked wild. I'm about it.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm into this. It's weird, and I'm all for it. And then there was a Dead by Daylight reveal that showed Nicolas Cage as a playable character.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That got leaked and they were forced to announce it, which sucks, but...
That was a leak?
Yeah.
The first time? I didn't know that was a leak.
Yeah, it was a leak the first time in the big reveal. The first reveal was at, like, this online... Oh, it was for the anniversary of Dead by Daylight. They had, like, a whole announcement show that Behavior put on, and they announced two separate games, and then they announced at the very end of the show Nicolas Cage as a playable character. And then they got a wider announcement during Summer Games Fest. So, yeah, it's going to be cool playing as Nick Cage. And I think that he just is a perfect addition to the game. It just makes a lot of sense for him to be there.
Yeah.
So, there was that. Star Trek Infinite looked interesting. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth was the last one that they announced.
As the Final Fantasy VII Remake world gets populated, I'm preparing to finally make my move playing that game. But I think I might be more inclined to start now, because now there's going to be two games available, and it's going to go up to three parts. So it's like, but now it's, if I played one and two at the same time, I wouldn't mind waiting for part three at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to wait until all of it comes out, then I'll start playing the Final Fantasy VII Remake, because I know there's going to be a part three.
Yeah, that's going to be the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before all of that, though, I would play... I think it's not going to be a launch buy, especially because it's in 4 days, but I will buy Final Fantasy 16 at some point this year.
Right.
Just not this upcoming week.
Right. Yeah. That's coming out. And I was like, wow, that's actually coming out.
I know. And I got to say, it looks very cool. I'm a big fan of the gameplay trailers that have been shown, and the combat designer for Final Fantasy 16 is Ryota Suzuki, who's the same one who's done Devil May Cry games. So it's cool because I can actually see some of the influence with that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play Final Fantasy 16, when you're choosing modes and difficulty, you can choose like the action mode or the story mode. So, which I'm assuming is just, do you care about difficult combat and gameplay, or do you kind of just want the game to be a little easier because you just want to get through the story?
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, because of them having a story focused mode, it almost makes me think that this is going to be a longer storyline, which I'm excited for, because my one surprising criticism for Final Fantasy 14 was that's probably the shortest a story of all the Final Fantasies, which is uncharacteristic of a Final Fantasy game. Then again, like, the core of the story is just four buds riding in a convertible. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely that was much more of an experimental open world situation of just them solving crimes and quests where the actual main storyline really was only like 15 hours of the game. But this looks like a more comprehensive story in a traditional Final Fantasy sense. And the protagonist, Clive, looks very cool. And I think it's been a while since we kind of went towards sort of the knight fantasy themes. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's real-time combat, right? It's not turn-based?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, let me know how that goes when you start playing it.
Yeah, I definitely want to finish Ishin, and it might be a late summer game for me.
Yeah, I'm still trying to play Tears of the Kingdom at some point, so waiting for
that. Oh, yeah, that's right. that game came out, jeez.
Right? Like, I want to play Spider-Man and Tears of the Kingdom, and I'm like, I can't play both at the same time. I got to take it one by one, and then I still have Ishin, and I'm like, okay, we're working on it. Hold on.
Yeah. The good news is when you do start Tears of the Kingdom, that is on a Switch, so it can be as portable as you want it to be.
Right. But yeah, so the other couple I wanted to mention were Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, and Mortal Kombat 1.
Okay, I'm so glad those are the last two you want to talk about, because those are actually the last two that I also want to talk about. So Mortal Kombat 1 had already been announced prior to Summer of Gaming, but I really want to talk about it, because it just looks crazy.
Yeah.
And first of all, I don't play Mortal Kombat or know the storyline as well. Like, you know, sometimes I'll play Mortal Kombat if like a friend has it, but I'm not actually actively playing it. So I didn't know there was a point where Liu Kang actually became a god.
Wild.
And so now we're kind of rebooting the first Mortal Kombat with the context now that he's a god. And we went there, Jeremy. Yep. We went there.
It's like, all right, this is where we are now.
I know. It looks cool, though.
It does, yeah. It looks gory. I'm here for all the gore. Yeah. It's like one of the goriest games in video game history, and they need to keep doing that, you know, because there's not as many games with that kind of gore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's great.
I like how this is a direct sequel to Mortal Kombat 11, like, especially just with the context of all these previous characters being gods now. It's just, but we're going to call it one. We're going to reboot it all over again.
Right. And I'm just like, okay, so what's after this? Like, there's obviously going to be more, but what's after this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's fascinating. Prince of Persia, Lost Crown. Looks cool.
I can't believe it's coming back. Or I can't believe that game. I thought that game's been gone for a very long time.
Yeah. I'm very happy that they're bringing it back, because it's one of those franchises that has stood the test of time, but it's also kind of just stayed its own formula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. They've never really changed what they were doing.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the last Prince of Persia game before this upcoming one?
I think it was like a 3D like one, not this like 2D 2.5D version.
Yeah, which looks cool, by the way.
Yeah, it does look great.
Like, I like the art style.
Same. And it looks very fluid, too.
It does. Speaking of Ubisoft, so I was really confused because I saw there's a new Star Wars game that got announced called Star Wars Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being published by Ubisoft and not EA Games.
Yeah. A lot of people are speculating this is what happened. This game is using holdover assets from Beyond Good and Evil. Because Beyond Good and Evil is a Ubisoft game as well. And the sequel, Beyond Good and Evil 2, was supposed to come out someday. It had like a... yeah. It had a... official announcement at E3 2017, which is crazy.
Jeez, that's so long ago.
Yeah. It's still in development. It's taking a long ass time.
Yeah.
And the creator, Michel Ancel, I'm pronouncing his name incorrectly. He's French. I think it's Michel Ancel. He left in 2020. So the game is just in development hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people are thinking that they're reusing assets from that game or modifying assets from that game to be put into Star Wars Outlaw, or they did that already, per se.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, the game looks cool. That Star Wars Outlaws game does look cool, but I'm just curious to see what happens when it finally comes out.
Yeah. I don't think it has a release date yet.
It just says 2024.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no hard release date. That's it. And yeah, that's all I had, and I'm glad that we're on the same page about that, Alisa, for Summer Games Fest.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to play Fable just because like Fable's one of those fun games like way back in middle school where I never had it because I never had an Xbox. But
yeah,
at all the parties, people were playing Fable. So it's one of those games that's I'm not close to it, but at the same time, it's brought a lot of memories of just hanging out like during the summer of middle school or someone's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of amusing to see a new Fable coming out. But I was actually what I actually thought was fun was it had Maurice from the IT crowd as one of the main. I don't know what type of character he is, but in the trailer it reveals that he's. You're talking to I say Maurice. I don't know what his actual Fable character is. Ooh. I just know what his character's name is in the IT crowd. Oh, by the way, the actor's name is Richard Ayoade.
Yeah.
But he's talking about growing vegetables in his garden, and he's talking so casually to you, and obviously interspersed with Fable gameplay and footage, and you're just like, okay, like, you know, Maurice is talking to us. And then it gets revealed pretty much about 2/3 in the trailer that Maurice's character in Fable, he's a giant. So that was just a fun trailer. Like, I'm not going to play Fable, but I just thought that was cool. And also, I like Richard Ayoade a lot.
Yeah, same. I'm probably not going to play Fable either, but yeah, I like that actor and the trailer was really cool.
That sums up everything that I wanted to talk about with Summer Games Fest.
Same, yeah. And, you know, you guys check out, there's a bunch of different news outlets who reported on all the games that were released, included all the trailers, so y'all check it out. And let us know what you guys thought was your favorite trailer or favorite set of trailers, please.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Wow. Yes.
What an amazing movie. Sequel to Into the Spider-Verse 2018 movie. Crazy that it took this long for a sequel to come out, but after watching it, I'm like, no wonder this took this long to come out.
And technically, it took this long to come out because apparently there's two movies that are coming out.
Right.
Which I will say, I gotta give props to society because I watched this movie not on the premiere. Not on the day it came out. And I'm pleasantly surprised that no one spoiled that ending for me.
Yeah.
And it was one of those theater experiences. I haven't experienced a theater moment like this since, I want to say, Parasite. The first time I watched Parasite in a theater.
Mm.
And it was just this communal feeling where when the "to be continued" title card came up, just the whole theater audibly was like, what?
Yeah.
Because no one knew there this was even going to be, you know, no one knew this was a part one. And I was shocked. And also it made sense too, because by the time we get to the Prowler reveal, I did in my head, I was like, holy crap, is there like another 30 minutes of this? Because we just found out that this guy's the fucking Prowler. And then everyone recollected and then it went to the to be continued. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they did this.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a trailer that came out a couple years ago that they called this Across the Spider-Verse Part 1. So that I knew there was going to be a sequel, but I didn't know in the movie when they were going to cut it off and continue into the next movie. And when it finally happened, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And everyone in my theater was like, everyone like gasped audibly. It was crazy.
Exactly. It's been a long time since I've been in a theater with that sort of reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I loved it. I'm also very, very happy that the new one supposedly is coming out in March 2024. Because good God, if we had to wait another 3-4 years for it.
Oh, yeah. I know, right?
Oh, I would, that would be painful. So I'm glad that it's actually in production or almost done, presumably.
Yeah, me too. Because like, I remember when Infinity War came out. And everyone's like, oh my God. And, you know, the next movie was coming out the year after, but like a few months, like months and months later. And like, I was happy for that because if it didn't come out, then I would have been like, oh my God, the pandemic would have happened and all this. It would have like really blocked all that stuff.
I know.
So Marvel got lucky.
Yeah.
In a way. And
they did.
And it's nice knowing that when there is a cliffhanger at the end of a movie, you know when the sequel is going to be.
Yes. So I'm glad they announced that.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. And yeah, I thought it was a very beautiful movie overall. The cinematography was great. I love that each universe was a different art style.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. And you can go on YouTube and there's like a ton of different breakdown videos of each character's animation style and how, like, in comparison, in the first movie, Miles was shown at like a certain FPS, and over time he would like go up, he would just like progress FPSs until at the very end his character was in 24 FPS to show how his character grew up and progressed and accepted his role as Spider-Man in his universe.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even realize that.
I didn't either until like recently. And then I watched all these breakdown videos of the second movie and they all referenced stuff from the first movie. And I was like, this is great. It's awesome. Yeah,
it's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of different Spider-Man references in the movie as well. And a lot of callbacks. It ties together the MCU and the Venom universe as well, which was weird. So it was really cool seeing that this movie was kind of a connective tissue with all these other superhero movies. It's great.
Yeah.
It's honestly so cool. I didn't expect it at all. And the Donald Glover cameo was really funny too.
That was great. Love that.
Yeah. I was like, no way. That's awesome. Yeah. So there were a lot of, this whole movie was just packed full of references. Lots of great moments. The dialogue was really good. The writing was really good. And all the humor and jokes are in there.
Yes.
It was great. It was awesome.
You know, I had a question about the bottom line of the movie. And so we get to the point of the movie where we're discussing the meta of Spider-Man. And it's talking about how every Spider-Man's experienced a loss. And if that loss doesn't happen, then it messes up the whole Spider-Verse. Now, with that, they're saying that Miles's dad becoming the captain basically means that that is going to probably be the loss. But I think the thing that I got a little confused with, I thought the loss was the uncle, like, because uncle was not a father figure, but he was a figure, like, you know, an adult like figure in his life. So like, does that loss not count for Miles's development? Like, it has to be his dad. That's the part I didn't get.
Oh, okay. I could explain that. So
yes,
the loss in his life that made him Spider-Man, like step up and truly be who he is, was the loss of his uncle. So that part is right. And his dad dying was the same thing that when Captain Singh was about to die, and he saved him. He was Captain Singh was supposed to die.
Yes.
So he saved him, and then there was that canon event breaking thing where the world started coming apart because he changed the way that history was supposed to be. So in Miles's world, his dad is supposed to die. And if he doesn't die, then his world is going to come apart.
So I see.
That's why his dad is so important.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So it's like an additional thing.
Yeah. So he wants to save his dad so that his world doesn't collapse. Well, sorry. Mm-hmm. He wants to save his dad. Even though his world might collapse, he wants his dad to be alive.
Yes. Makes sense.
Yeah. Because his dad is a police captain. All the police captains apparently are the reason why the worlds end up breaking.
For sure.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I was on initial watch, I was confused because it was like as if saying that Miles didn't have a loss yet. So I was like, the uncle died. But that makes sense now. It's actually like kind of like two exclusive events.
Yep. And from what Miguel was saying, like he wasn't supposed to be Spider-Man so that's why I think that's why his dad has to die for this event to continue going on.
For sure.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It was very cool. I love the soundtrack. The soundtrack didn't hit as hard for me as the first soundtrack. Well, first of all, the first intro into the Spider-Verse, that was just the A1 soundtrack. Like I there's a lot of things that can't beat that. So the soundtrack was still good and I still liked it, but I definitely prefer the first movie's soundtrack over this one.
Got it. Yeah, me too. Yeah. I liked the first one more. I thought it was more memorable. I did like the songs in this one, but they didn't stick out to me as much as like Sunflower did.
Yeah, the Sunflower and What's Up Danger to me were huge standouts.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Good movie. I can't wait for the sequel.
Very good movie.
I know it's going to be super good. And Chris Lord and Phil Miller, Chris Miller and Phil Lord said that they're like done with this trilogy once the third movie comes out. Like they don't want to work on any more Spider-Man stuff.
That's good.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like this is such a huge topic that once part two wraps, it's kind of like, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what else we can really cover.
Right. And I know that the studio is going to want it more. I know they're already planning a female centric spinoff version of it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But like, I don't know where you can go after this. Like, hopefully the third movie just ends like on a very solid note.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yes, we shall see.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got about Spider-Verse.
Yeah, that's all I got too.
Cool. So if you guys would like to leave us a comment, if you'd like to talk to us about your thoughts on Across the Spider-Verse / Summer Games Fest 2023, well, let me tell you, you can email us restherepodcast@gmail.com. That's restherepodcast@gmail.com. Send us a comment or question that way. Feel free to comment on any of our Podbean episodes. If you guys go to restherepodcast.com, it'll take you directly to our Podbean website where you can download our episodes, listen to them on the site, leave a comment there. If you click on the Pages tab on our website, click on Contact, you can join our Discord community that way or wherever there are links available in the description of any of these podcasts on YouTube, where have you. Feel free to write us a review on Apple Podcasts and feel free to comment on any of our YouTube videos. And we'll read any of those reviews and or comments on the podcast. So thank you guys so much for listening. And
yes, thank you for listening.
Hope you all have a good one. See you on the next one.
Have a good day.